Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Authentic Faith Podcast.
Welcome back to the Authentic Faith Podcast. My name's Landon, and I'm here with my sister, Mariah McLeod, and youth pastor at our church, John Will. And today, we're going to dive into the conversation of identity.
In Christ.
How are you guys doing? John, how are you?
Life is good. Life is solid.
How's your week? What's on your mind? What's the day in the life of a Two Trees Church youth pastor slash entrepreneur slash business worker?
Slash gangster.
Slash a little bit all of it all. Yeah, well, you summed it up. What am I doing tonight? Taking like 6-7 middle school girls out to dinner. So that's going to be
a
party.
Make their month.
Yeah, we're gonna go party with a bunch of middle school girls. And then, right after this podcast, go right back into the entrepreneurial hustle.
There you go.
And do all the above. So,
wow.
So it makes life so great.
Miss Mariah.
What am I going to do today?
How's your day?
It's pretty good.
What's on the agenda?
Working for the kids ministry. I'm going to print out some awesome things for them to do, get some activities. Mm. We're talking about being strong and courageous with them all month. So,
wow.
So, it's really good. Did some bar classes, kind of feeling it.
Wow.
Living my life, enjoying Jesus.
I have a question. This is just off the cusp. Did you guys ever think that you were going to be in ministry when you were younger or growing up? Did you plan to be in ministry, or did you ever see yourself stepping into that position? Mariah, you answered first.
Okay. No.
No.
I think when I became a Christian, when I was little, no, never. When I became a Christian, I knew I wanted, at the church we went to, there was a lot going on that I didn't agree with. And there was a lot that I felt Holy Spirit put on my heart to speak into. And I was young. And I knew I had the interest to shift the atmosphere at a young age. But did I know I'd be working with kids? No. Do I like to see their minds and hearts molded? Yeah. And talk about Jesus for sure. And get on their level for sure. But I just liked shifting atmospheres for Jesus, help raising people up with identity. Yeah.
That's amazing.
But no, did not think so.
How about you, John?
Yeah, absolutely not. Not even a little bit. So if you would have told me in high school that the pastor title would be somewhere even in the vicinity of miles and miles and miles, anywhere close to my name at all whatsoever, yeah. I would have not have believed you. And I think I still have a lot of friends that don't believe that I preach on Sundays. Like, hold on, you do what on a Sunday? So yeah, it wasn't there for me at that time.
I could relate.
What about you?
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of a hard question to answer because I did picture myself being on a stage or speaking or having a voice.
Totally.
Never necessarily. I just think I fought and resisted the pastor title or leadership ministry title. I just didn't ever want to do that. And I don't know why. I don't know if it was like you said, the churches that we came from or just the experiences that we had, or if it was, I don't know. But what's cool is I feel like every single one of us and every single person, I would say even in the church that's on staff in our church, have been specifically called by God to be in this position. And I don't think any of us were pursuing a title, if that makes sense. No one was pursuing and chasing after the title, but it came as a byproduct of serving. But it's really cool to
see. Loving Jesus.
Yeah, just loving Jesus and coming in. It's like the people that come and show up week after week and give their time and their effort and their ability to serve the church are the people that sometimes God will lift up and elevate. But that's really cool. Just to kind of preface the conversation, we're talking about identity, and there's so much to cover with identity. We can talk about our own personal identity. We can talk about kind of who we, wanted to be when we grew up topic. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out as a kid and maybe young adult or adult, figuring out the next steps in life and how to pursue the path that God has called and created you to be on, and go after. No. And there's so much to talk about in identity. But I think it's just fun to see, you know, the three of us sitting around this table talking about what God's done, what he's brought us through, how he's brought us to where we are now, and how we got to this place, and how God maybe changed our life. For me, I think we could all probably agree, God pivoted us, you know, completely turned us around from the path that we were going on, and just encountered us. And I can go off on that for a while, but just, you know, his love got a hold of us, right? And we became new creations, and he changed who we are. And I think when God meets you and actually transforms your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit, he ignites something inside of you, and it almost projects you into your calling. But yes,
I remember, like, when I first became a Christian, I remember sitting in youth group. I was in a youth group. Youth group was powerful. When it's not powerful. Well, it is powerful. But when you become a Christian and you're like born again, you're like, everything sparkles. It's all different now. Yeah. I remember sitting there, like, my heart pounding, sitting in the chair. Like, I gotta tell my story. Like, I gotta tell my story. I gotta share with these other kids, like, what God's done with me. And, like, because there's your pastor asks, like, who has something to say? And you're like, like, you can feel your chest just like going crazy. You're like, I have to share. Like, I can't come out of all this stuff. And I remember sharing it, and it, like, I think it broke open something in the room for other kids to share what they're going through, or tell the truth, even just be honest with what they're struggling with. And I remember that was like a big moment for me to like walk in my calling, walk in like who I am, to like break things open and speak up about stuff I've been through. And I've been on a lot of chairs, let me just say. We stood on a lot of chairs for healing. There's context in that, but with our pastors in Reading used to have us, like, not all the time, just like randomly, we'd go having ministry time, and they'd call something out, like, if you feel like you've always been hiding, and you've never, like, you've been in hiding, God's calling you out, and you need to stand up on this chair and be seen.
Wow. Yeah.
And they'd have us, not everyone did it, obviously. It was like only if you felt like you were trying to hide yourself and in shame or fear or whatever, stand up on your chair right now and like declare or whatever. And we do it. I'm like, I stood on so many chairs.
That's awesome.
It was breakthrough, though. It was like calling you out. Like, yeah, I was saved already, but like the sanctification process, like the process of like breaking off the old.
Yeah.
Like, no, I can be seen. I can be heard. I can, I'm not afraid of my voice. Like, yeah.
That's good. Well,
Fun times.
Yeah. The goal of today is kind of what you just said. The people that hopefully are listening right now, we can share a little bit on what identity is, what it means, how to step into maybe your calling, and where God's leading you and guiding you. And I'm sure there's so many people that are listening, whether old or young or middle age or whatever, you know, whoever, that can hopefully get just take away from this conversation. So
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm not the host today, but like,
we're all the
hosts. What is something that God has had to break off of you? Like once you've been, you know him, your new creation, but there's something that, like, maybe your fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of like abandonment, or like fear of your own voice, or self-sabotaging yourself. I don't know, whatever. Those are just random things, but is what's something that God broke off, or it has, like, you remember like one moment he healed you in worship or prayer, like it, and it had to do with identity. Do you guys remember a moment? Because that for me was standing on a chair.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, that's a great, great question. And in all honesty, in my mind, I'm thinking, where do I start, right?
I know, like, where do I start?
Maybe a few. And I mean, just to actually literally start, the very first thing the Lord had, or not want to say had, but he chose to do, was break off my identity with money and how my close relationship, I put money above anything and everything. So ever since I was a young kid into middle school, high school, I was always trying to make a buck. I was always trying to hustle, always trying to do something. I just fully believe, like, I'm going to be this millionaire. I'm going to build this huge empire, and I will go to any extent to make that happen, which is actually funny, because at 19, when I started my first entrepreneurial goal, and that failed at about 20, right before I hit 21, that's when I started to seek the Lord. It was through that failure. So one of the very first things the Lord had to do for me in my heart was break off the idolatry of money.
Wow.
Everything it is, everything it can be. I am telling you, like, I was fully wrapped up in thinking that there was really nothing more important than the idea of success. But success to me at that time was really wrapped up in a dollar amount. So
wow.
There's that. So identity, identity with money, identity in money.
Like, you are successful if you have money.
Yeah, like success does not equate
right
into your life at all in any way, shape, or form unless a dollar amount equates with it. So that was a really big one for me, which is funny now because now, you know, it's like the Lord has positioned me in a place where it's like I'm very fortunate and very blessed, and I could care less to the extent of it being some importance to me. You know, obviously we all care about money, but not to the extent of the least thing that I worry about in my life is money.
Wow.
Purely for the fact that the Lord provided for me over and over and over. When I became a believer, I had tons of bills. I put myself in a financial hole. Okay. So I became a believer. It's like, Lord, I need help. You know, like I just went and cried out to him, and I was expecting him to basically snap his fingers and like fix all my financial issues because he's God and he loves me and all this. Definitely not the case. But what's funny is probably for about the first 8 months or even to the whole year, every single month I would find ways to make money to the exact dollar of what I needed just to pay bills.
Cover it.
And I mean to the point of like finding $80 cash on the ground.
Whoa.
Finding $100 cash just walking down the street. And it's like, that's exactly what I need to pay
like
my
not
bill.
Not your own hustle, but he's like, I'm going to show you.
Yeah. So money was that's a big one for me in identity. The Lord had to break off the get-go. Plus many more, but
wow, yeah.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. I just know when I gave my life to the Lord, when I fully gave everything, I felt like he downloaded an incredible amount of like confidence in him, like confidence in my identity, obviously. So confidence in my calling, who I am, what I'm capable of. And I'm trying not to sound like it's coming off as arrogance or pride or anything like that, but just more of before I felt like I was really insecure. I was really unsure. I was looking for constant...
feeling something else?
Yeah, just constantly looking for affirmation, and affirmation's okay to an extent, but just constantly trying to be filled and be accepted and
that's
just
good.
Loved by people. And then as soon as I fully just encountered the Lord, I felt like that place of striving and searching for who I was and what I was called to be kind of just fell away and faded back because I knew that God had called me to be, you know, X, Y, and Z. And so I think that I think since then I've been able to really walk with that confidence.
That's cool.
And I think that goes in line with relationships, with jobs, with a lot of stuff. Just knowing. I've heard this before a few times. I've said it a handful of times, but once you're given your identity, once you find your identity, you receive peace, power, and purpose. I've heard people say that a lot. And when you don't know your identity, there's no peace. You're wandering. You're in the desert. You're wondering where to go. Where's forward? Where's back? You don't have power because you don't have confidence because you don't know who you are. And there's no purpose. You're just wandering. So peace, power, and purpose when you find your identity. And I remember writing that down when I was in school a few years ago, and I just have always held on to it. And it's true. I mean, when God told me and when I realized who
totally
I was,
that's good.
It was like, oh my gosh, there's so much, like I'm just so fulfilled. I'm so full in knowing that I'm enough and God's created me to do this and be this kind of person. And don't get me wrong, I've hopped around and done a bunch of different things for work and job and stuff. But yeah, God has given me that that peace. And the purpose in my life. And so, yeah, I would say
that's so good.
That shifted a lot.
That's relatable. There's still times that I'm like, what am I doing? Like crisis, but like, what do I want to pour into? Like, what am I doing with my life? With not questioning who I am, that's settled. But like the what looks different every season. I feel like trying to figure out like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But that's good. 'Cause I feel like my identity, when I found that, I was like not trying to be that peacemaker anymore.
Yeah.
Which seems like I was such a peacemaker growing up. So in the middle, the mediator that was like, I don't even know what I think. I don't have an opinion. Can you imagine? Yeah. I don't have an opinion about anything. I'm too scared to say it. I don't even know what food I want to eat, like anything like that, to like, I know I have an opinion actually.
Yeah.
So like you find your identity, you find like you're confident in what you actually want and what you like. And yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah. And to tie it back, a lot of people can relate to that, you know, from a young age in school, we're taught like, you know, what are you going to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up from a very young, maybe as young as you can remember.
Yeah.
And
I was like Tinkerbell.
Yeah, exactly.
That was Landon's.
That was me. I wanted to be Tinkerbell.
No, that's me.
And it comes back up end of high school, you know, senior year. Oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you graduate? Oh, are you going to go to school? And so there's all this pressure.
Who are you?
Yeah. Who are you? And, what do you want to do? Not like your identity, but just like, what are you going to go after and all this stuff? And it's okay to ask those questions, of course, but it starts putting these thoughts in your head of like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And some people have it right away and they're like, I'm going to do this, and they know, and they go after it, and maybe they love it or maybe they don't, but there's other people that are just figuring it out. And I can relate to that. After high school, I did so many things. I ended up having a notebook, and I had a whole page, maybe two pages, filled on every line with different career options. Because
I remember that stage.
I was in such, this was before, I mean, I was a believer, but I had just completely walked away from the Lord at that point. And I was just wandering in the desert, like wandering more than you could wander. And I had so much anxiety. I had so much fear. I had no idea who or what I wanted to do, who I wanted to be, what I wanted to do with my life. So I had this whole list or two of career options. I don't remember all of them, but one of them was like a airline pilot. Like I was like, oh, they pay pretty well. I can be a pilot. And the other was, I don't know, maybe a firefighter, mm-hmm. and all these things, right?
Swimmer.
And these things are great. Yeah, they're incredible. These are great career choices, but they didn't sit with me. They didn't settle with me. And I'm just sharing that to say, like, there is a process and a season of me just going through it and writing it on paper for me after like a month or two of seeing that thing. I got to think about it and process it. And I was like, yeah, that's not what I want to do. It's a great thing, but that's not in my heart. I don't feel that. And going through maybe a year of just trying to figure out who I was. And I still never really found it. And then I went to this school called YWAM, which is Youth with a Mission. Yeah. It's a nonprofit Christian international school. And I bring that up to say, in that school is where I found my identity. Mm-hmm. It's where I was able to really dig into who God called me to be, and even deal with a lot of the maybe issues that I had been through, or lies that I had believing, or just anything that was holding me back from stepping into what God had called and created me to be. And at that point, I still didn't know what I was going to do for the rest of my life, but I had the foundation of, I am secure in who I am. And that comes
That's
back
good.
To like the confidence part. But
all I know is I want you, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get to that point, you're like, I don't know where I'm going, what I'm doing, but I want you. I want to be with you. And then it's like, he shows us, right?
But I will say, one of the important things, there's a guy in our church, his name's Glenn, and he's an older elder, a part of our church on the board. And Glenn, always says, I mean, we talk, you know, once a month or so on the phone, and he says, sometimes it takes knocking on doors and walking through doors to see if that's the right option. And sometimes mm-hmm. we can be paralyzed where we don't move because we're like, I just like, what's the will of God for my life? And what's God calling me to do? And it just paralyzes us. You know, we just don't do anything. And maybe there's kids even in the youth that experience that. And they're just like, oh my God, I'm just going to wait for God to show me. And maybe he will show you.
Totally can relate. Yeah.
Maybe he'll show you, but also maybe it takes you knocking on door after door after door and pursuing those things until God closes the door. Not a striving, but more of a putting in the time and the work and seeing like, God, is this from you? Yeah. You know, moving and seeing. But
yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think when we look at the book of Proverbs, and this is something that's been very, very heavy on my heart for really the last few years. When we look at the book of Proverbs, it talks about the paths of life. That the Lord leads you down the paths of life. And I really, in all honesty, think Christians have now over-spiritualized their own will and their own life and their own choices to the point of not reading what it's saying. And it says the paths, which means you're going to go down multiple paths.
That's so freeing.
Right? So when we ask a student, hey, what are you going to do? You're right, Mariah. It's so much more powerful to say, who
Who are you becoming?
Yeah.
And I think people don't ask that question because if I ask you that question and I don't have the answer, I can't look at myself and give myself an answer, then I'm not going to ask the 17-year-old kid who they are, right? So it's almost like intimidating to ask that question. So anyways, I bring all that up because really it's the Lord has given us free will and he's given us choice. It's important for us, right? When we're talking about God's will, is to simply be led by God's ways, be led by the Holy Spirit. And that's what's been so big, because I don't know if any of us are ever going to just do the same thing for our entire life. Right. What we do is going to change. What we do is going to move. But who we are always remains the same, because Christ remains the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Yeah. So, yeah, it gets me really, really fired up, because I think there's so much more creativity in it. I think there's so much more fun in it. There's so much more freedom in it. Mm-hmm. There's so much more of just allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us day by day rather than just, honestly, kind of creating this mysticism around the fact of like, well, I'm just going to wait till God shows me the door.
No way. Yeah.
And he's like, I offered you a job last month and you said no because it wasn't, you know, it, whoa.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So right. Like, you know? So right. I was stuck in that after doing missions in Mexico, because I was so like, God, what's your will? And I'm doing this for you. And then I came back and he was like, no, make moves. What do you want? And I was so frozen, paralyzed, crippled in with money and jobs. I was like, I'm only going to do what you're calling me to. So I'm not going to work in any of those other places. I'm only going to do like what I feel called to.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, you're going to be poor then. Okay. You're not going to have a place to live. So for a few months I was like coming out of the poverty spirit and like that identity I was holding on to, like still from my old ways, but like, no, make moves. What do you want to do? Go for it. And sometimes you have to do a job you don't want to do for a season. Sometimes, like, I was a caretaker. Actually, it was really sweet. It was great. But I was a caretaker for a lady and a few times. And it's like, I didn't expect that. But God so used it. He taught me in that royalty. He taught me how to live royal, like, not like a poverty, like a pauper, but like a prince or a princess in the kingdom, and like live from a place of wealth mind instead of, you know. So there's, he uses everything, but like,
yeah,
I didn't want to work when I work. Like, I didn't want to work some random jobs, you know. You're like, I don't want to work here.
And I'll add so much of that, because when we are working the jobs we don't want to work, I think the Lord teaches us so much in that. It's unbelievable.
So good.
Faithfulness, commitment, servanthood, all honoring the above. Your leaders. You know what I mean? Yeah. All honoring your leaders. That one's a huge one. Yeah. He teaches us so much in all of that. And we might feel like we're called to something specific or a specific position or those type of things, but we have to allow the Lord to work in us.
Prepare
so
it.
I remember when, you know, I graduated the school that the former church that I was at, I was graduated the school. I was technically ordained through the church. So there's like this pastor title that floats around, even though I wasn't like a pastor over a ministry and some of these things. And I was offered a position, and then it didn't end up working out. There's some things involved there. But regardless of that fact, that's when I came to the realization of, if I'm going to pastor, I'm going to pastor every day of my life, regardless of title. If it's in a church or not. And if the Lord decides to open a door specifically in ministry and at a church, then I'll say yes and walk through that. But my life isn't going to change. And that was like 3 or 4 years of basically going to work every day, hanging out with 18-year-old kids in the restaurant industry and learning how to pastor
them,
learning how to be involved, learning how to be Jesus in the marketplace. And then now the Lord opens a door to church, and it's obviously there's always challenges and growth, but in all honesty, it's seamless. And I talk to a lot of young leaders now that are always asking me questions around, how do you balance work and life and ministry, and how do you, and I just want to be a pastor. And you see their passion and their ambition for this, for a position. But the reality is if they step back into just who their identity is in Christ, they're going to go be a pastor like everywhere they go. So
that's such a good point. Cause I was going to ask you, what would you say to some young, you know, whether middle school or high schooler, that, you know, whether they don't know where to go at all, or they want that thing and they're just like wanting it so badly, whether it's a position or a title, or they want to be a pastor someday or something someday. Like, what do you say when they're in the waiting?
Yeah.
You know, and I love what you just said. It's like, just do it now. Practice it now. You know,
that's so good.
Yeah. Show up and do the work. Don't wait for the title or the position. Just do it. Walk in that.
Right.
Yeah.
and we're on the subject of identity, right? So we could take this to the deepest levels of, let's say you're praying for a spouse, right? Like, let's say you're in a single season. Mm. You're like, I know my heart, that position of a husband or that position of a father, a wife, a mother. If that is your identity and that's the position you want to be in, then we can start to act in that before we ever get there. We can start to pray in that, not pray for it, but pray of it, pray in it. Before we ever get there. And then we get there, it's such more of a seamless process.
And there's another level, because then it's like, but are you making that your only identity?
Right.
You know, like, am I making the goal of just being a spouse that's my identity? Or you become a spouse and like, this is who I am. I've been waiting for this. This is it. It's like, right, there's so much more that God has us to do than just, not that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, mm-hmm, shooting for that and that's it. I'm like, I've arrived. No, there's, your identity is so much more than just being married,
right,
just being a pastor, like, there's business so owner, much
teacher,
more,
yes, etc.
Like, you've not made it just because you got that. Like, there's so much more.
And in all honesty too, anytime that I've quote unquote made it to that position that I yearned, ooh, for however many years ago, now I realize all of the challenges and growth that I have to go through on the daily to maintain it,
yeah,
and or so continue good to grow.
Stewarded, yeah.
So we need the Holy Spirit to lead us in all of it 24/7.
That's good. I'm thinking about, like, there's the young generation we spoke to, our generation in late 20s, early 30s. What about like the 40, 50 year old, you know, like, I think of our 70, 80 year olds. Like, I think of my grandparents, like, I think of they've been in maybe their identity, our grandparents, their identity might have been in ministry for so long. And now that looks differently. It looks like they can't do things the same way. Maybe they're at home more often. Maybe they can't use their body in the way they used to before. So how do they have identity, you know, like, having your identity not just in what you do, but who you are. Like, who are you becoming? And what can you do in your life in front of you? Instead of, like, it has to be this big thing or else I'm nothing. I'm not worth anything, you know? Because sometimes I feel like we can speak to the older generation that's like, what's my place now?
Yeah.
We're not that age yet, but I feel like we can still speak to it. Like, sorry, I'm not.
No.
Just, I had that on my mind.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's great.
The older generation, like, you're still worthy, you're still needed, and it's maybe it looks different than it used to.
Yeah.
Maybe it's loving your grandchildren. Maybe it's teaching, like, your next door neighbor. Maybe it's speaking up at any conference or church or, like.
Yeah.
But your worth, it's, you know, the worth in, like, what you do versus who you are, and an older age could be sometimes. Yeah. Tricky.
Well, and I think it's the same, like you said, it's hard to communicate on something that we haven't been through, but I do think it is a similar principle as, like, what you just said. You know, it's not what you do, it's not who you are,
it's who you are.
Yeah. And it's like, your identity is in Christ. And so, even like we were just talking about, you go through all these seasons. I know I can speak on marriage. I just got married almost a year ago, and I was like, I just want to find somebody to date, right? And then I just want to get married, right? And I just want to have kids like everyone else, and then I'll be where everyone else is and I'll be happy. And the list goes on.
Yeah, and you're with everything.
The list goes on and it never ends. And so those things are beautiful things that God's created, but that's, again, like a byproduct of life. And it's such beautiful things, but closeness and face-to-face with Jesus, I think, is the main thing.
Cool.
And yeah, and
no matter the age, right?
Yeah, and like we talked about, walking with Holy Spirit and asking Holy Spirit, like, where am I going in this season? What do you have for me in this season? Because, again, identity brings peace, power, and purpose. And so it's whether you're 10 years old or 100 years old. I mean, any time in between, even younger.
That's so good.
It's like just the identity of knowing who you are and walking with the Lord to know. You know, you hear a lot of the times, and I've heard it, you know, parents when their children all move out and they come to this place in their life where they're no longer necessarily parenting in the same way they did for maybe 20 or 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their identity of being a parent, maybe, mm-hmm, for those people. And so they come to this point, the shift in their life where, oh, I'm no longer doing the same thing, or my marriage has now changed, or my husband and I actually are just, it's just him and I or her and I all the time. And so, you know, there's a lot of seasons that shift, but I think it's seasons like that that open your eyes to, okay, who am I? Like, what has God called me to? Who has he called me to be? What is my identity, what do I give, really?
Yeah.
I think it's easy to, you know, talk about it around a table like this and even listen to it. And when you actually confront that season, maybe you're thinking yourself, if you're listening right now, like, oh, I'm pretty good and I'm pretty secure. And we all hopefully are, and we feel that way. But it's maybe human nature to go through seasons like changes like that and shifts, and you realize, oh shoot, I didn't realize, you know, like me, like I have the honor and privilege of leading worship on Sundays on a stage. And I'm like, oh, I don't think I consider that to be my identity too deeply, but what about the day that completely goes away? If God takes that away sometime, would I confront that? Ooh. Oh gosh, I don't have a stage anymore. I'm not like singing and leading on a stage in front of hundreds of people. Yeah. How would your heart deal with that? Would you still worship in secret? And so all those things, but it's easy to talk about it, but when you're actually in it, it sometimes becomes more real, and it is eye-opening sometimes. So, but yeah, to answer your question, like, I think it's surrender. The same. It should be similar for different, a lot of different, in different ways, but the same concept of knowing your identity and being with Jesus.
For and the shift, I was going to say, like, the shift of, like, okay, you're a father or mother in the spirit to pour into the next generation, and like the us pouring into the one after us, and like the spiritual mothers and son, mothers, daughters, sons, fathers, like to like step into, you know what, I can pour into this generation. I have something to give them, no matter your age. Like if you're 70, 80 and you're like, I don't have any, like you do have something to pour into us 20 somethings or 18 or whatever, 30s. Like, and we have something to pour into them. And it's like, we need mothers and fathers spiritually to, we need that.
Yeah, totally. And obviously, like you said, we're not of that age, so we can only speak on to what we can speak on. But if I had to encourage somebody who might be in that age right now, I would just really encourage them to eliminate all of these limitations.
That's so
because
good.
In order for us to like say, oh, I can't do X or I can't do Y, it's like, you're never meant to do X. You're never meant to do Y, especially not in this age. So you can purely ask your father, hey, that's I really so do good. Want to pour out. What's a way I can do that? Because I could tell you off the top of my head right now how many young people need a pastor.
Yes.
And it's very difficult to get a pastor's time, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, especially when there's a large number of young people. If an older person called me and said, hey, I would love to disciple, or I would love to do this for this many students or whatever it may be, we will find a way. We will find a way to make it happen. We will move. We will grow. So there's just, the opportunities are endless.
We need that.
It just depends on how big you're going to let God be in your life.
Woo!
You know, like, so I want to throw that out there. And just on the subject of identity, because if we're not careful, I think when we get to that older age, we come up with those dilemmas because we never knew our identity in Christ when we were young. And when we look at it from like an academia perspective in sociology, psychology, if you ask somebody their identity, they start to mention, right, male, female. They'll start to mention physical attributes. They'll start to mention family orientation. Mm-hmm. They'll start to mention anything and everything outside of just who they are in Christ. Oh, I'm a son of God, first and foremost. Mm. I have an inheritance to the kingdom, first and foremost. Oh, I am loved, and foremost. I am saved.
Yeah, free. Right?
And those are not affirmations. Those are truth.
Yeah.
That is truth declaring, from the Word, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. So I just want to encourage that on the topic of identity, whether you're younger, in the middle, older, way older, whatever category you want to put yourself in. Look outside of just the psychology and the sociology of your identity
and go
straight to the truth. Because that's right there is what's really going to lead you.
Who is he and who are we in him? I remember Hidden Manna Ministry locally, like they have a ministry and they have this prayer boot camp book, and a resource in it is like a list of who God is. And it's like King, like Shepherd, all that he is, and right. Scripture with it, and next to it says who we are in him, and it has all of who we are and with the Scripture next to it, and you can declare and have that like up there and remind yourself, like, I am this. Like, identity.
we just taught the kids last Wednesday on temptation and Jesus's conversation with the devil, and obviously it's a classic sermon and you know, all extensive purposes, but Jesus replies with, it is written.
Ooh.
It is written. It's the first thing that comes out of his mouth, because he knows who his father is and he knows what the word is. And that's us and our identity. we start to get beat up. We start to have an exhausting day. We start to move in the, every single human being is going to have it. Doesn't matter if you're a pastor or a construction worker or whoever or whatever you are, a stay-at-home mom. We all are going to feel those days and those times. And if we don't know the word and we can't go back to the truth, we'll begin to mix up our identity and all kinds of things that are not true.
Yeah, it is written.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's so good. I think, too, it's like knowing the word of God, being in the word of God. And, you know, like you mentioned, I know you weren't talking about affirmations, but you mentioned it and then you kind of went into it. But, you know, having spiritual biblical beliefs about who we are and being able to prophesy those over our lives, speak them out over our lives. And, you know, there's, you know, whether it's like a piece of paper when you wake up in the morning, you know, or go to sleep at night or whatever it is, or on the mirror in your bathroom, but just start declaring the promises of what God says over your life and who you are. And, I mean, that's really what God, who God calls you is who you are. Okay. What God calls you is what you are.
So just remember, call it into remembrance, right?
Yeah.
That's the song we were singing on Sunday. One of the Sundays, this is gonna be future, I guess, but the shepherd song, like declaring you are my fortress, you are my shield, like it's just remembering that it's powerful. I mean, I look at myself in the mirror daily and nightly and I say things over myself, and it's not just a cute little thing of the world. This is like from scripture, and I wrote like, what will my legacy be? And then I declare to myself. I mean, you can get as deep as you want to get. I'm not going to get weird, but...
No, dive into it. Go for it.
But you can speak to yourself and, like, declare the things and call yourself up, especially when you're feeling just, like, bleh.
Yeah.
Well, and there's power in the tongue. There's power in your words, right?
No matter what age you are.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. Absolutely. So good. I love mirror ministry.
Yeah. I mean, and as we're sitting here and I'm thinking about it, right, as you're talking about these declaring God's word over your life, I'm starting to think about this idea of, like, what if you really actually believed what God's word said?
Totally.
And when it comes to being saved and salvation, start with confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. So what if we begin to confess the lies that are in our head and believe in our hearts what God said about
the
us?
Laugh at the lies.
That's a big one. Like, confess the lies. Boom, this is a lie, that's a lie. And begin to believe what is true.
So good.
So I know in my own life, and it took probably, I don't know, 6-7 years of being a Christian for the Lord to really talking about what the Lord has done in my heart, going all the way back to the beginning. Took a long, long time, probably 6 to 7 years, where I started to really understand some deep stuff in my heart, where identity, where I felt like I've always had to prove myself, like even internally. I felt like I've had to prove myself for probably different family issues and ways I was raised and things like that, jumping into all that. But the belief, I think it took me probably 7 years to actually really, 7 years of being a Christian. Let me repeat that, of really actually believing that I'm a son of God.
Wow.
But when I begin to believe that I'm a son of God, I truly look at life differently now. Troubles come, challenges come, my heart gets broken, disappointment, discouragement. It's like, I am a son of God. God works all things for his good. Let's go.
That's so good.
Yeah. You know, like it's time to like, let's go.
He's got it all, right?
It's time. So
so good.
Yeah.
He's got it.
I love this conversation too, because I feel like there's a lot of practical takeaways for people listening, and that's the goal. Like, the whole podcast is just to be able to give just practical pieces of information that people can say, oh, I heard him say, write down beliefs or affirmations on a piece of paper that I can put in my mirror or next to my, you know, nightstand or something. Little practical pieces like that, just pieces that people can say, oh, that's easy, I can do that. Or confessing the lies and saying, like, I've realized this is a lie, and I actually, like, you know, confess this and give this to you, Lord, and I speak truth over myself and I replace it with that truth. And that's another such a practical piece of information that we can actually take, and, you know, every day, every single person that's listening can use that and take that away. And
he's the solid ground. He's the firm foundation, right?
Yeah.
So standing on him, you won't be shaken.
Yeah. And I think it's important to just, you know, obviously with community or communion with the Lord, you're constantly every day going back to him, face to face with him, just, you know, in your word, on your face, just worshiping or praying or praising or whatever it looks like. But
encountering him.
Yeah, we just keep going back. Just go back to the Lord. Just go back and just get on your knees and just cry out to him and ask for him just to continue to reveal himself to you and who you are. But I think ultimately your identity, you know, It comes when you're in communion with the Lord and mm-hmm. when you're face to face with Jesus, and when he's speaking identity over you and he's telling you, you're my beloved, you're my daughter, you're my son, I love you. Like, just, you know, soaking in that time. And maybe that's uncomfortable for some people. Maybe some guys or some girls, you know, don't feel comfortable doing that. Like, that just sounds like emotional and icky. Like, no, just spend time with your Father.
No one else can do it for you. Yeah. No one else can lead you in. Like, people can only try to lead you in, but like, you can only press in and know him.
Yeah.
Like, no one else can give you their relationship with him.
And it's a relationship, right? So it looks different for every person. You know, maybe some people, it's totally different than other people. Maybe there's different types of a relationship. And how you spend time with your Father. But yeah, just dive into your word. Yeah. Spend time in your Bible. Get on the daily reading. Like, read the Bible. Come to prayer. Be a part of worship. Come be a part of church on Sundays. Get in community with people. We started Table Talk, which is, this is kind of a table talk. But we started Table Talk, which is a conversation on Mondays that we've been posting as takeaways from the sermon from the Sunday. And it's just an opportunity for us to take what was taught on Sunday to our, you know,
diving deeper
dinner, dining room tables, or out at the beach, or, you know, riding bikes around, or whatever it is, you know, XYZ, going to bar with people, like, just breaking open that conversation.
Studio bar.
Yeah, I was going to say studio bar.
Studio bar,
where Mariah works out.
Yeah. Get some squats on.
either one.
But yeah.
But yeah. So just whatever it is, whatever it looks like for you, but like being able to just open those conversations with people. And I think, you know, it just is another tool for us to dive with each other into God's word. And that. There's a lot of practical things, but being
such
connected.
A good thing. Yeah, being connected to the vine.
Yeah.
It's a good conversation.
That's good. Dang, we could probably go in on identity forever. Probably keep going in and in and in and in and in and in and in. So,
but let's do this. Let's do this for the people that are listening, that maybe are searching for their identity. They're trying to figure out what's the next step. I know we just gave, I would say, a lot of practical, you know, steps. But for someone, let's just pray over these people and whoever they are. Let's just pray that they would. Just have the boldness to just chase after Jesus and renounce any lies that they're believing. I'll start it real quick. And John, if you want to just wrap up, let's just give our hearts to you, Lord. Lord God, just thank you for speaking identity. Thank you for telling us and showing us, Lord, who you called and created us to be. Thank you, Lord, for every single person listening. Wherever they are, whenever they're listening, God, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would grab a hold of every single person's heart. God, that you would just actually reveal the depth of your love to every person. God, I believe that there's a lot of words that we can say, there's a lot of things we can do, but at the end of the day, more than any religious thing, it's just your love, God. Mm-hmm. It's your love that grabbed a hold of me. And it's your love that actually brought me to my knees and transformed my life. So I pray that right now, God, would you just release your love on people and show them who you call them to be, who you have created them to be. And Lord, any lies that they're believing, if there's any lies over their identity, Lord, would you just reveal it to them so that they can just renounce that and just speak out all the truths of who they're called and created to be, Jesus.
Yeah, and right now I just feel like really heavy impressed on my heart right now. Whoever may be listening to this through a car speaker or through their AirPods or whatever it may be, that the truth will set you free. Mm. It's the truth in Christ that sets you free. And as you're seeking your identity and you're wanting to know who God is and just who you are, especially in Christ, that is just the truth. It's the foundation of the truth that'll set you free from all of the lies. So, Lord, I just pray truth right now over the minds, truth right now over the hearts, truth right now over the soul, Lord, that in everywhere they go and all the people they talk to and different doors that are open, Lord, that they are being led by truth. Continue to encourage them. Continue to shower your love on them, Lord. And continue just to pull their hearts closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Truth. Uh-huh.
Well, another Authentic Faith podcast. Thank you, John Will, for being with us. And I love being a part of these. It's so fun. And Mariah's been doing an incredible job hosting these, so it's fun to be with her and flip the roles a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Bye, guys. Peace. Have a great day.
Love you guys.